This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
It's April and the days are finally warmer, but the nights remain cool, perfect weather to make the sap flow. That means maple syrup producers across New England are hard at work making the most of the sugar season. Harvesting sap from maple trees is one of the nation's oldest agricultural traditions, and these days it's big business. But as it always has, the industry remains at the mercy of the elements. And now global warming is causing unease among local growers. We learned a lot about the region's syrup industry when we traveled recently to Bascom Maple Farms in Alstead, New Hampshire. The place is bustling this time of year. Customers come and go from the equipment store. Trucks unload barrels of sap, while inside the factory, workers steam clean dozens of large aluminum drums, which will soon be filled with syrup. And all around us, there's a wonderful, sweet smell in the air. We came here to meet Doug Wynot, who spent a lot of time here and has written about it in his book, The Sugar Season, A Year in the Life of Maple Syrup and One Family's Quest for the Sweetest Harvest. Wynot tells the story of Bruce Bascom, who owns this farm and is one of the largest syrup producers in New England.
Bruce's operation has about 80,000 taps coming in now. Some of those include sugar bushes nearby who just sell their sap to Bruce. Bruce owns 2,400 acres of land, which is amazing. It's a mile and a half wide and 3 miles long, roughly.
When we drove in, we saw the plastic tubing going from tree to tree to tree. Any estimate on how many miles of tubing that amounts to?
When I was here in 2012, it was about 350 miles. But they've added about 10,000 taps since then. So I'm guessing it's about 450 miles of plastic tubing.
It's incredible.
Yeah. The extraordinary thing about all this plastic tubing, it's all under vacuum. It's all at a pressure below atmospheric pressure, which helps to draw the sap out of the trees.
I see.
And they have people in the woods walking along these tubing lines all the time checking for leaks. So they keep the system with 400 plus miles of tubing airtight and able to contain, you know, vacuum.
And quite a change from the old days when farmers would tap the trees and hang tin buckets on them to collect the sap. Now the taps on thousands of trees are all connected by plastic tubing, which carries the sap back to the farm to be processed. Bascom Farm produces as much as 80,000 gallons of sap a day, which is boiled down and made into syrup, candy, or sugar, and then trucked to stores around the region and shipped all around the world, as far away as Japan and Australia.
And down here is maple syrup. These are 55, 45-gallon drums, different sizes of drums. And there's approximately 250,000 gallons of maple syrup in this warehouse.
So what's that worth on the market?
Well, it would depend. I'd multiply it by the retail, what I think of as a good retail price, which is $50 per gallon. So if you multiply 250,000 times $50, you come up with 12.5 million. That's a lot of maple syrup.
You know, we're so used to thinking of a little bottle of maple syrup. We know it's expensive, but when you start adding up what would be stored in a place like this, it's quite a number.
Well, every one of these barrels is worth more than a barrel of oil, you know.
Oh, here's Bruce.
Hi, Bruce.
Hello there.
How you doing?
Nice to meet you. It's quite an operation.
It's changed a lot over the years.
Yeah.
It's noisier now.
Bruce Bascom is the owner of this farm, which his grandfather started in the 1920s.
Well, my grandfather primarily had dairy cows, raised a lot of potatoes. The maple syrup was a sideline. They did it for about 4 weeks out of the year, and that was it. My father, when I was 13, 1963, sold his dairy herd out. He had 40 milk cows and about 80 head of animals, and he was a lot more interested in maple than he was the cows. And so when I got out of school, I started working for him in 1972. Plastic pipelines started to come in. What revitalized the maple industry as the, you know, as things changed, labor became more expensive. And so the tubing replaced a lot of the labor. And so you had technology improvements, plastic tubing, vacuum pumps on tubing, oil evaporators, and then eventually reverse osmosis machines. So it became more fuel efficient and more labor efficient.
The maple sap flows best when it's freezing at night, warm in the day, a good temperature.
Again, author Doug Wynot. He says he first came to the woods around Bascom Maple Farms in 2012 to do research for his book. He says a very warm spring that year made it a tough season for maple syrup producers.
Around March, there were 10 days where the temperatures were running between 50s at night and 80s during the day. That had never happened before. Bruce had never seen anything like that before.
And that really wreaks havoc on what's supposed to be happening here, right?
Well, yeah. A good temperature range is low 20s to mid to high 40s. That's when it really starts to flow. It comes out of the trees as a clear liquid with 2% sugar. It tastes like a sweet, sweetened water a little bit. But then the trees just kind of shut down, or the sap was coming out of some of the trees I heard at some sugar bushes, like jelly, and they just dumped it on the ground. So that season was just a total mess for the sugar makers. And it was also an indication of what might happen if predictions about climate change prove true and warm winters, warm nights in the winter come to be a more common thing.
This year, maple producers faced another challenge. The start of the season was unusually cold, which can also threaten the harvest.
It's been too cold. The days don't warm up enough and they're cloudy. So even like today, it's going to be 40, but it won't start running probably till 4 or 5 o'clock the way it's going. So
this is Kevin Bascom, Bruce Bascom's cousin. While Bruce handles the business, Kevin oversees the taps and tubing. As they say here, he runs the woods. So like a good farmer, he pays a lot of attention to the weather.
So is this a concern that it is so cold and things are running so slow?
It's a concern, yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's a major concern, but God's in control of the weather. We'll see what happens.
This is sort of a chancy business always, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doug Wynot says the Bascoms, along with just about everybody else who makes a living from the maple sugar industry, are nervous about the threat of global warming.
There was a New Hampshire climate change report that stated that if emissions of greenhouse gases continue to increase at the current rates, by the end of this century, the maple syrup industry could be reduced, not eliminated, but reduced. One of these climate change reports stated that if trends continue, current trends, increases of emissions continue, that the climate of New Hampshire could be similar to the climate of North Carolina. It was like what happened in 2012 with that warm season. So there are concerns. One, protection against warm nights in the winter are the advanced kind of tubing systems that they have here, because they can continue to produce sap and keep the tap holes open and running when they have vacuum systems and not when they're exposed to the air.
Another way the industry protects itself from a bad harvest is with the all-powerful Federation. Doug Wynot says the Quebec Federation of Maple Producers is to the syrup industry what OPEC is to the oil industry. It sets prices. It can even raise and lower supplies thanks to its huge strategic maple syrup reserve.
Quebec produces 70 to 80% of the world crop of maple syrup. The amount of syrup they have in storage now is as much as 2 years of production in the United States. It's a very large amount. It's partly because of the huge crop they had last year. So that's there to protect the markets. It's been a good thing for the industry.
But despite the power of the Federation and the advanced technology, this old industry remains steeped in tradition. And as always, the brief sugar season is still very much subject to the whims of nature.
They're dependent on these wild trees that produce their sap when the nights freeze and the days are warm. And so it's a very delicate time, and these producers depend completely on this mysterious event happening each year.
Is this the original American agricultural product?
That's what people say, because this was the first agricultural craft that was learned from the Native Americans, who used to gather sap from the trees and boil it in hollow logs or baskets made out of birch bark into which they dropped hot rocks. And so the settlers learned that from them, and then they improved on the technology by introducing various pans and cooking pots. And so it began during that time of the settling of this country.
It's lovely that it's still here. What do you love about this industry?
Well, I love the fact that all these businesses are family businesses. Even this giant business here is a family business that goes back for generations. And from these businesses extend this culture throughout North America. But the really cool thing about it that I've been thinking about a lot is the flavor of maple. There's no other flavor that originated in North America. And then there's this $18 billion industry of artificial pancake syrups that comes as close as it can to imitating this iconic, special flavor of maple. And another producer who I know has said, we're not selling a sweetener, we're selling a flavor. And I think that's true.
Doug Wynot is the author of The Sugar Season, A Year in the Life of Maple Syrup and One Family's Quest for the Sweetest Harvest. You can read an excerpt from his book, and you can see pictures from Bascom Maple Farms at our website, radioboston.org.
And all of a sudden, I'm in the mood for pancakes. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
And don't forget bacon. Our show is produced by Amory Sievertson, Dina Rosendorf, Alex Kingsbury, Emma Jean Weinstein, and Kathleen McNerney, with help from Jamie Bologna.
Tim Skog is our technical director. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.